Philippians chapter 1. And again, we'll finish what we started last week. God always finishes what He starts. And He will certainly do that in the lives of His children who have put their faith and trust in Him to save them from their sin and give them a home in heaven. God is doing a work. He has a work. He has a purpose. You know, God didn't just save you to take you to heaven, because if that was the only reason He saved you, where would you be? You'd be in heaven. But you're not. You're here. So God must have other purposes in our life. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So God desires that we as children would bring glory to Him while we are here on this earth before we go home to be with Him in heaven. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promises of Your Word. We thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross, that we by grace through faith in Your sacrifice and Your resurrection come to know You as our Lord and Savior. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to praise You today, to lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray as we do that You would also work in our heart and life. Help us to see areas, Lord, that we are holding back from You. Lord, conform us into the image of Your Son. Make us to be more like You. And in so doing, give us love and joy and peace and all the other fruits of the Spirit that are ours in Christ Jesus today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. As we saw last week, Paul was excited to see what God was already doing in the lives of the believers in Philippi. And he thanked God for it. He didn't thank the Philippians for it. He thanked God for what He was doing in the believers in the city of Philippi. Moreover, Paul rejoiced as he made requests in prayer for the believers there. He rejoiced as he prayed for them, knowing that what God had started in their lives as His children, He would most assuredly what? Finish. In verse 6 again, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He, that is God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it, complete it, finish it, until the day of Jesus Christ." We don't always finish what we start, but God always finishes what He starts. And Paul says, "I make request my prayers for you with joy, knowing that God is going to finish in you what He started." As we discovered in God's Word, we cannot and do not save ourselves. We cannot and do not save ourselves. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64, 6. Does the rag clean itself? No. No, somebody else has to. And we are as that filthy rag in sin. And who is it that can bring cleansing into our life? It's not us, it's who? It's God through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. We cannot and do not save ourselves. That alone is the work of God by grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. His shed blood on the cross for our sins. His resurrection from the grave. That is the gospel. God has done it. Not us. Not you. God has done it. Jesus Christ did it. When He hung on that cross, and just before He gave up the ghost, He says, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." What was finished? The price of our redemption was finished. The payment was made. And all of those who come to Him in faith and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, that payment is applied to our account before God, that we might be declared justified in heaven. We cannot and do not save ourselves. God does. It is not our job to keep ourselves saved either. For God has promised that He will keep us saved who have placed our faith in Him until the day we stand before Him complete, that is, perfect. God has promised that He will keep us. 1 Peter chapter 1, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy," according to His mercy, "hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." How are we kept? We are kept by the power of who? We're kept by the power of God. We're kept in God's grace. We're kept in God's family. And we are reserved. God has reserved a place for us in heaven that is ours, because we are kept by His power. If it were up to us, be in trouble. We're in trouble to begin with because we're all sinners. And that's why we need a Savior to save us, forgive us, and cleanse us from all our sin. We're not saved by our works, and we're not kept by our works. We're kept by His power until the day that we stand before Him complete. So while we are on this earth, God is working in us day by day to perform, to complete His work. His work in conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, His Son, Romans 8:29. It is not always an easy path. It is not always a smooth path. But we can be assured it is the right path and that God will keep us on it. And that's what we looked at last week. God starts what He finishes. And if you have placed yourself in His hands by faith, He says, "I will deliver you to the home that I have prepared for you. You can trust in Me." That's what salvation is all about. Not trusting in me, but trusting in Him. However, it is also important to note that as God does His work in us, we have a choice day by day to yield to His work or to resist His work. We have a choice whether we're going to yield to what God is doing in our life or whether we're going to resist what He's doing. It is God's work, but it is our part to yield to that work as the clay yields to the hand of the potter. We're told in Scripture, He is the potter and we are the clay. If you would look up on the screen here at Hebrews 13:17. There, the writer of Hebrews says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves," or yield yourselves, "them. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And I want to focus on the last part of that verse in particular. "For that would be unprofitable for you." Well, what would be what is unprofitable for us? Well, this is what's unprofitable. For we who are God's children, who have come to Christ by faith, to resist His work in our life and refuse to yield to His authority, to His word, to His work in us, by His Spirit and by His Word and by others that He has placed in our life to assist us in learning and applying God's Word to our life. If we resist His work, then that is unprofitable here. It is harmful. It is injurious. It's not unprofitable, harmful, or injurious to God. It is harmful, unprofitable, and injurious to who? To us. If we choose not to submit ourselves to God's authority, to His Word, to His Spirit, to the teaching of His Word, we need to be soft-hearted. We need to be willing. What authority? God's authority. And the authority of those that He's placed in our life who teach us His Word, including His Spirit. Godly parents and preachers and teachers and other leaders who declare God's Word, who seek to assist us in learning and applying it to our lives. You know, sometimes being a pastor is exciting and full of joy, and it is. And there's nothing I would rather be doing than be right here doing what I'm doing. But sometimes it can also be frustrating. Because you preach the same thing, sometimes it seems like over and over and over again, and nobody what? Nobody gets it. You know something, and God reminds me when I start feeling that way, that I'm that way too. That I'm just as thick-headed and hard-headed as everybody else. And it seems like sometimes that God just keeps knocking and we just not listening. But we need to start listening. And we need to start yielding our lives to God's Word. If we refuse, it will be unprofitable to us. If we'll yield ourselves to Him, we will experience the fullness of joy and peace and success and love that God has promised to His children. He wants that for you. But we must yield ourselves to Him. Have you ever heard how foolish it is to bite the hand that feeds you? I'm sure you've heard that phrase. Well, when we refuse to yield to God's love and His will in our lives, that is exactly what we are doing. And we are the ones who get harmed in the process. Who gets harmed the most when you bite the hand that feeds you? Well, the one who is eating because it isn't taking the food from the one that wants to what? To feed you, you see. God wants to feed you. He wants to feed you from His Word and by His Spirit. He wants to do wonderful work. He's working in your life. Why are you resisting? Because we're stubborn. Because we refuse to see things from God's way. Because we just don't trust Him. And I mentioned this before the revival. It's a matter of trust. We do not make it hard for God, but we make it hard for ourselves. God will not be halted by our resistance to His will, but we will find life miserable and difficult when it is meant to be joyful and happy. Christ said, I came not just to give them life, but to give them life more abundantly. God wants us to have an abundant, fulfilled, joyful, happy life as His children. But have you ever met a miserable Christian? Say, no, Christians are never miserable. Ha! I've met many miserable Christians. Times in my life I've been one. How does that happen? We have the Spirit living inside our heart. We have His Word. We have His promises of a home in heaven. Why would we be miserable? Because we're fighting Him. Because we're resisting Him. Because we're not yielding to Him. It brings turmoil to our heart when it should be filled with joy. I have told my children and other children, I was youth pastor for 12 years, if you will just obey and do like you're told, then everybody will be more happy. Yeah. If you'll just do what you're told, then we won't have to go through this for the 50th, 100th, or 200th time. You won't have to get a lecture. You won't have to get something taken away. You won't have to get punished. I don't want to punish you. It makes me miserable, and it makes you miserable. So if you would just what?
Listen.
Just listen. If you would just obey, then everybody, including you, would be more happy. You know something? That's what God says to us too. We think, well, that stupid kid, why doesn't he listen? Doesn't he get it? We're that kid. Sometimes that's how we act. You want to have the be overflowing with the peace and joy of the Lord in your life? Well, first you have to know him by faith, but secondly, you need to yield yourself to him. He only has your best interest at heart. He wants to give you joy. We have to start yielding. Stop resisting. It isn't any fun paddling upstream. And no matter how hard you fight as a Christian, you cannot fight God's current forever. But you can certainly wear yourself out trying. You ever met a burnt out Christian? I met them too. How did they get burnt out? Well, in many cases, it's because they've been paddling upstream. They've been fighting God rather than letting him have his way. So they're tired. I think some Christians stay out of church for years thinking that if they stay away from God, God will let them be. But if you're a child of God, if you've been saved by his grace through faith in his Son, he's not going to let you be. It will never happen. Because he said in his word to his children, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now he put that there to bring comfort. But if we're running from God, it brings the opposite. Discomfort. Because God says, I'm not going to just let you be. I'm going to hold on to you. That's our God. When we're not faithful, he still is. So just get it over with. Get right with God now so you can enjoy his love and leadership in your life for years to come. Stop shooting yourself in the foot and let God have his way, because his way is best. Let's look at a few other passages on the subject. Now, let's start with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I concluded the service last week with this passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now God's will for every one of us is what? Good and acceptable and perfect. How do we prove that? Well, we prove that when we yield ourselves to him. When we give our life, our bodies, a living sacrifice, and we get out of the driver's seat and let God get in the driver's seat and direct our life, which now belongs to him. Paul says, we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. God's. We belong to him as his children. So get out of the way. Move over. Let God take control. He will not steer you wrong. Our prerogative is simply to yield to the Lord and let him direct us. Let him to guide us. His will is perfect, and he will not fail us. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does God expect of his children? This is what God expects of us. He expects of us to not look at the world and our life before Christ and to envy it and to be pulled back towards it and to resist him. But he expects us to yield ourselves to him. Rather than going back to our old ways and yielding ourselves to the flesh and the allurements of the world, we must yield ourselves to a holy God and his Holy Spirit to walk, that is, live daily according to his word, that we might become more holy like unto him. Now, who is going to do that work in us? God is. You can't do it without who? Without God. He says, without me ye can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if Christ lives inside your heart, your life by faith, and if you yield yourself to him, then you can do whatever he asks. You can become more holy. You can get victory over sin. It works. Because God works. Not because I work. Because he works. He will make us more like him. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. It's a mouthful, but let's... I was just going to put 14 and 15, but I think I have to put the whole package here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. This is Paul writing to Timothy, a convert of Paul's and now a trained minister. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing that thou hast whom thou hast learned them. And that of a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished or equipped unto all good works. What is the key to salvation? It is the gospel. Where do you read the gospel? Right here in the Word of God. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. If we die in our sins, we'll be lost forever. Because our sins demonstrate we're guilty. But God so loved the world that he saved his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. That we, through faith in him, might be saved. And receive God's gift of everlasting eternal life. But God's word doesn't stop there. God's word continues to instruct us on how to live the Christian life, to bring glory to God. How to live the Christian life, to experience the fullness of joy that God wants for his children. That's why the Bible doesn't end with the Gospels. But it continues on with the epistles and through the book of Revelation. Everything that you need to live a godly, God-honoring, successful, happy life is found here. Now, if you want to know how to do the plumbing in your house, you're going to have to find a plumber or a handbook on plumbing. And if you want to know how to fix a motorcycle, you're going to have to find a mechanics book on fixing a motorcycle. But if you want to know how to get to heaven and how to live a happy, successful life, everything you need to know is right here. God's given it all to us. And it is profitable for instructing us in every way of righteousness in our life, in God's will, that we might be thoroughly, that is, completely equipped to do the good works that God has for us who know him as Savior. But we have to yield to his word. It's not simply enough to know it. You have to what? Follow it. James says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For he that be a hearer of a word and not a doer is like unto a man that beholds his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. What James is saying is this. If you get up in the morning and you're all disheveled and you go and you look in the mirror and you go, oh, look, I'm a mess. And then you turn around and you walk away and you go about your life and you don't do anything about it, what good did it do you? How many people know the gospel but have never received the gospel by faith? One day they'll stand before God at the judgment. And God will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And how many times as Christians, as God's children, do we read God's word and it says, this is unprofitable for you, and we just go about doing it anyway. And it brings misery here when God wants to bring joy. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. But he giveth more grace, whereof he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh or near to God, and he will draw near or nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How do we cleanse our heart, our hands, and how do we purify our hearts? By drawing near unto God. By yielding, by submitting ourselves to God and his word, God does a mighty work in our life. But if we resist him, then we don't see the fruit. And we miss out on the joy that God has for us. If you wish to experience the fullness of Christ's joy and the fruit of the Spirit, to that abundant life that Christ told his disciples about, then we need to learn to trust the hand of the potter and yield ourselves as the clay. Else we will become miserable, ineffective, and even bitter children of God. And that is not what he wants for you. That is unprofitable for you. If we yield ourselves to him, he says this, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All that you need to make you happy and fulfilled in life, God says, I will provide it if you will seek me first. If you yield yourself to me. All those things you strive for, all those things you worry about, God says, if you will just seek me first, I will provide those things. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, to do those things that are glorified, to please him. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee what? Everybody see that? The desires of thine heart. What do we desire? We desire to be loved. Do we not? We desire to be at peace. We desire to feel satisfied, full of joy. That's what every human being desires. There's only one who can give it fully, and that's Jesus Christ. And even as Christians who have Christ and the Holy Spirit, if we do not yield ourselves to him, we won't experience all of it that God has to give. But we can. If we'll just learn to delight in him. If we resist him, then we read these things. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. I am getting near the end of my message, all right? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 10, if you turn with me. If we yield to him, he will add all these things unto us. If we'll yield to him, he will give us the desires of our heart. But if we as his children resist him, then he will chasten us because he hates us. You think that's the truth? I hope not. Do you chasten your children or discipline them because you hate them? No. Why do parents chasten and discipline their children? Because they love them. And God will do the same for us. And chastening isn't pleasant, but sometimes it's necessary. Hebrews 12, verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The writer of Hebrews says, don't faint, don't give up, don't go hide, don't get angry. When God is chastening you, realize that it's for your what? Your good, because he loves you. Receive it. Yield to it. Stop fighting it. "For whom the Lord loveth," verse 6 again, "he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what is son is he whom the Father chasteneth not." If God doesn't ever chasten you, well, then you might want to stop and think for a minute. Was there a time when I truly trusted Christ as my Savior? Am I a child of God? Because if God's not chastening you, then there's something wrong. If when you're doing wrong, you don't feel guilty, then there's something what? There's something wrong. If you're a child of God, then God is going to chasten you. He's going to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to convict us so that we'll turn from the way that brings misery to the way that brings what? Joy. To the way that brings dishonor to our God and brings glory to our Father. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. I read this passage last week on Sunday night because we were celebrating the Lord's table, communion. And that's what this passage is regarding in verses 22 down through verse 26. But we'll start there in verse 26. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now, Paul uses the word sleep as a metaphor for the death of a Christian, because we are not gone, okay? Our body is asleep until the day of the resurrection. Our soul goes to be with the Lord, our body goes in the ground, and one day we who know Christ as Savior, that body will be raised, it will be changed in a moment. And we will spend eternity with Christ in a new glorified body. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. So he uses the word sleep. So who is Paul talking about here, the saved or the unsaved? He's talking about the saved because he uses the word sleep for death. But Paul says this, "If we would examine or judge ourselves based on the Word of God, and at the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then we will be filled with joy, and we will be profitable servants of the Lord. But if we refuse to examine and judge ourselves, our sin, to confess it, and see it as it is, and get it right with God, if we're determined that we're going to fight, then God says, then I will have to chasten you. and I will have to judge you. And like talking to my children, which is better? For you to judge yourself and choose to fix it and get right and do the right thing? Or to put me in a position where I have to do it? Which is more pleasant? Which is better for you to choose? Now, God's going to finish what he started in you. God wants it to be a pleasant journey for you, his child. He wants to be glorified in your blessing and your reward here as well as in heaven. He wants to be glorified in that way, not glorified in his chastening of you. But we have to learn to yield to him and stop resisting him. When God speaks to us, we need to listen. We need to be willing to confess our sins that he might cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So how are you doing? Which category do you fit in? Are you yielding? Or are you resisting? But let's go back for just a moment. I have three questions in closing. Here they are. First of all, are you a child of God? For you see, if you do not know Jesus Christ by faith, if you have not come to Christ in repentance and faith and trusted him as Lord and Savior, you still bear the punishment for your sins. And you do not have a home in heaven. And if you die and go out into eternity without him, you will spend eternity in a place called the lake of fire. Are you a child of God? Have you come to him in repentance and faith and received his gift of eternal life? Are you trying to get to heaven on your terms, your way, and by your works? You say, but Pastor, we're all sitting in church this morning. That's not us. I don't know that. And sad to say, I know there's a lot of churches that aren't really teaching the truth today, and there's a lot of people sitting in those churches that think the way they get to heaven is by doing good works, by keeping the law, doing the works of the church. But the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When did you receive that gift? If you haven't, then you don't have it. But you can today. You can receive God's gift by faith. You can be saved and become his child. That's what God wants most of all. Question number two, if you are a child of God, are you yielding to him, submitted to his word, doing your best by his grace to live according to his word and for his glory? If so, you should have a settled peace and joy in your heart and life, no matter what life throws your way. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. Paul said so of himself. We won't till we get one day to heaven. But generally speaking, how are you doing? You're the only one who can answer that question. That is you and God. And number three, are you resisting God in some area of your life? Yes, God will finish his work in you. Yes, God will keep you safe in the ark of his unfailing love and mercy. But you will not know the peace and joy or begin to feel secure in him as long as you are fighting your heavenly Father and resisting your will. Is there something today that God has put on your heart and said, yes, Lord, I know you've said this way of living is wrong, but I've been doing it anyway. Will you confess that before him? do right. Maybe you're resisting His word clearly and you know it. It tells you in His word that what you are doing is sin. You need to give it up. If you don't, He will chasten you until you honestly confess and let Him deal with it. You know, you can do that today. You can do that here. You can do that when you go home. You can do it tomorrow when you're dealing with another problem. He's always there. He will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. But you need to deal with it. It doesn't just go away. You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't just go away. You have to what? You have to deal with it. Maybe you're resisting His will and you know it. I've been there. It's not a fun place to be. I knew the Lord was calling me into ministry when I graduated from high school, but I was determined I was going to be a physicist. So I went to college to be a physicist, and for 2 years, my major was physics. That second year in particular, I was the most miserable I have ever been in my entire life. Because God was tugging, and I kept saying, no, no, no. I kept telling God, God, you don't know what you're doing. God, I can't get up in front of people and talk. It scared me to death. It still does. But you know something? God is able. When I finally gave in to the Lord, He gave me a peace that I haven't lost. Oh, there's ups and downs, just like everybody else. Are you resisting His will? Surrender, let Him have His way. He doesn't make mistakes. Maybe you're just complacent and unresponsive to Him, too distracted by the things of this life to care what your Heavenly Father thinks. You will never be happy that way. He will never let you be. Will you fix your eyes on Jesus and get your eyes off the things of the world? Lay up for yourselves treasure where? In heaven and not upon earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the promise that those who come to You by faith, that You will keep us by Your grace and power till the day we stand before You complete in Jesus Christ. But Lord, You desire to do so much for us here today, Lord, that our lives might bring glory to You, but also that our lives might be filled with joy and happiness and peace and love. Lord, help us to see that our resistance to You is only robbing us what You have for us and what You want for us. Lord, help us to confess our sin, to yield ourselves to You and to Your word, to Your authority in our life, as the one who has purchased us by Your blood on Calvary's cross. And we pray most of all, Lord, if there's one here today that has never received Your gift of eternal life by grace through faith in Your Son, that they would do that today. Lord, if they're trying to get to heaven on their own good works, I pray that You'd help them to see that it's only by Your grace we can be saved through faith in Your Son. And receive that gift that only You can give. If we give this hymn of invitation, please help them to come. Please work in our life and help us, Lord, to confess any sin to You, Lord, that we're holding back today. In Jesus' name, amen.